Hey everyone, welcome to yet another episode of Building It Up with Bertelsmann, India's first podcast that focuses on the growth pangs of a startup. I am Ankur Variku, your host, and with me today is someone who I have come to believe defines entrepreneurship for this country. He's been at his startup since the year 2000, which is 18 years in the making, has seen itself go through a fantastic IPO, and yet today he says that he's not even getting started. Deep Kalra, the man behind Make My Trip, and everything that is about Indian travel e-commerce. In today's episode, we not just travel through Deep's journey as an entrepreneur, but also spend time with him thinking about what does it take to build a great product. Thank you so much, Deep, for joining us and spending time. It's a pleasure to have you on Building It Up. I wanted to spend time with you on focusing what it takes to build a great product. And you've done that exceptionally well in the travel industry. If there is any player that one instantly recognizes as the de facto travel stalwart in the industry, it's Make My Trip and all the brands you've built. But when you started, it was nowhere near the industry that it is today. Completely uncharted territory, booking online for flights, hotels was unheard of. You start this in a country that's still growing online, still figuring out its internet base. How did you start visualizing what that product should be in these early days when it was just a website? Nothing else. And what were the first learnings that you had on making a product in a market that has never been done before, at least for the segment that you started for?
Well, firstly, thank you, Ankur. Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I think podcasts have come of age in India, and hopefully people find them useful. So yeah, I think if I hark back to when Make My Trip was started, and this is year 2000. So, you know, I can kind of divide up the company's growth in three stages, and you've actually picked on, I think the first stage is the most exciting always. Because you really don't have that much of an idea of what the customer expects. So you don't know at that point of time it's going to be an iterative process. Because when you're when you give your version 1.0, you're not already saying, hey, we'll tweak this and do this. You want this to be your best, right? The second thing what's tricky is, besides not knowing the consumer that well, I don't think you even know your own capabilities as an organization that well. Right? And that becomes also quite tricky, because you're trying to put forward something which is wow and will work very well and will work very well for millions of people. Straight up. Like it's like that. So it's not like starting a restaurant where you say, okay, listen,
a few hundred,
I get food and I'll be there and I'll fix everything. Because once you put, as you know, in the online world, your product out B2C, boom, it's showtime. And it's showtime for, you know, that's it. You get one chance. So we went through our trials and tribulations, like everyone must, I guess. And the site from day one of literally when I started working on Make My Trip, and then over the next few weeks started hiring people, I think we went live in 6 months. If I look back, probably only 3 months of those was the whole team of about 40 people. So it was, I think it was pretty good. We did outsource technology up front. We didn't have those tech chops, which was obviously a terrible mistake. And it took me a good part of, I think, 5 years to bring in technology. And the first 5 years, of course, were tough. We were floundering. We were trying to figure out product market fit. So we launched with an India website. And we launched with a NRI website meant for US, India, folks in the US coming back to India. The India website completely bombed. And it bombed because we had tons of lookers, but no one was buying. And they weren't buying because this is 2000, when they were really, really wary of dropping their credit card online. And that's the reality. The NRIs weren't, because the NRIs were already buying. So the NRIs probably got used to buying thanks to eBay and Amazon and Expedia, 96, 97. And they said, yeah, this thing works. Also in the US, as you know, if something goes wrong with your card, there's a mischarge, which today is there in India too, you'll fight it, you'll get it back. So I think they were very confident buying online, and they didn't expect a company which is, you know, basically going to run away with their money. I think scams also came later. But in India, people started using us a lot to research. So they said, we'll research for the best fares. We started only as a ticketing platform, because that moves first online. And then they'd call up their friendly travel agent and they'd say, ke web pe to ye mil raha hai. And that was the typical this thing. And they'd drive the price down and then they'd try to get a cheaper deal. So I think we dealt with that for a while. But within, I think, 3 or 4 months of being live, we realized we're going to run out of money if we keep marketing in India as well as in the US. So we shut down India marketing. We kept the site going. So the site was going. It was just, you know, like, basically paying hosting charges, doing no development work on that at all, but just letting people come to Make My Trip and see it. And we kept watching those numbers and then growing slowly. People were using this again as a comparison thing. We had built, I guess, for scale in terms of, we had built our direct connects with airlines. We had built our link we had consumed the APIs from Amadeus to get all the full service carrier fares. The direct connect one is a very interesting one because the first airline we went to was actually Air Deccan. And this is now, we had moved on to 2005. So I won't bore all of you with what happened between 2001 and 2005. But basically, it was survival. That's all.
Got it.
Hand to mouth, survival. And like you said, enough has been kind of written and said about it. But I think it forges the team together. So it really, I mean, you know, we shrunk to half our size. People who believed became radical believers. People who didn't believe said we're going back to the world, which is fine. And I think we couldn't take the weight of more than 20 odd people. So kind of we chugged along. But come 2005, a couple of interesting things happened. And that's when the product started defining itself better, which is India started buying online thanks to IRCTC. So I have to give them credit for that, although they're beating us up now. But I give them credit because they got people comfortable.
Yeah.
It's a government site. Exactly. You know, people believed in it.
There's a trust element to
There's a trust element. Also, it took away so much pain.
Yeah.
So we all remember queuing up at railway stations, waiting for your turn. You'd reach the window and they'd say there are no tickets, then you could probably start all over again or whatever.
And God forbid if you had to cancel.
And if you had to say, exactly, and if you had to send someone to do it, there was no way the person could call you from there because this is also, well, mobile was there, but
you know, incoming was not free.
Exactly. 32 rupees a minute. So I think IRCTC took away a lot of pain. People started moving to it quickly. And that happened 2003, 2004. Yeah. And then Air Deccan launched in 2004.
Which is
for us, that was a watershed year.
Yeah.
Because Air Deccan said, and they had these massive billboards everywhere saying fly for 999 Bangalore, Delhi. And this is the time Bangalore, Delhi was another nine. So it was 10,000 rupees. Yeah. And they were saying, and people saying, is this even possible? And then they did some schemes which were like 99 rupees. And everyone said, where do we log on? So you log on to airdeccan.net. And very often the site was down. You call your travel agent. The travel agent did not want to sell you a low-cost carrier ticket because they made no margin on it. So I remember distinctly going to Bangalore to meet Captain Gopinath. And I sat with him, me and KU, my colleague, co-founder, we went together and we said, so this is what we want to do. We'll build a direct connect and people can this thing. Even if you don't pay us commission, that's fine. I think he heard us for about 20 minutes, lots of sketches on the table, everything. And then he looked at us and said, I don't understand a word of what you're saying. Let me call my CIO in or CTO. So he called the CTO in. The CTO got a bit more. And they had never done a direct connect. No OTA in the world had connected to a low-cost carrier, actually. Because in the US, they came up at a time where the low-cost carriers, there was no internet. So we had to really explain to them. Finally, we figured out where they're hosted. So they were hosted with someone called Radix. And then we said, connect us with them. And they connected us with them. At the same time, we got a lot of grief from Amadeus here because they weren't being very helpful, saying, why do you want to cut across and go directly? So no one could figure out what we wanted to do. And we said, listen, all we want to do is get the inventory real time, get the rates real time, offer them to consumers and let the customer make the choice. While that got done, I think the value prop was so strong. The value prop actually was, consumer, you make the choice. Do you want to fly at 6 o'clock in the morning and save 500 rupees? Or are you happy to fly at 7:30 in the morning, pay 500 rupees more? Do you want to fly low-cost carrier, not get a meal, have maybe less legroom, etc., and it's a new brand? Or do you want to fly in, you know, a little bit more luxury or a lot more luxury because soon came along Kingfisher and everything else? You choose and you make the choice. The customer in India had never made the choice before. The travel agent always made the choice.
It was almost like a doctor going to a patient. They
exactly.
Had no
you have no clue.
Medication.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, you are going to take this drug and you're going to say, okay, is there a choice? And so they said, so it was very heady. And I think that clicked.
When you raised money from Saif, how strong was your conviction that this money would not be used for figuring out the product as much as for growing what you had already built?
No, I don't think that conviction was there. I think we were very honest with them. We'll need now millions of dollars. It was single digit million funding still. We'll need millions of dollars to really create a brand. Like that, I think there was complete clarity that you can't build a brand even in 2005 in India with a few crores, which is what we had.
Let me go back to one thing which I think a lot of founders ask. You're not a software engineer by profession.
No, unfortunately. And, but I did
computer. I do remember.
Computer science in class 10 and 12. So I can code in basic.
I do remember you saying that one of your regrets is not to do computer engineering.
Completely.
Now, to a founder who unfortunately is not a computer engineer, how hard is it to build such an exceptional technology and product team?
If I had to do this all over again, I would start with one co-founder, he or she, who would have complementary skills. So either I'd be the techie and he or she would be the business person, or I'd be the business person, he or she would be the techie, period. I think it's awesome if you can have it all in one.
Sure.
But then I don't think Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg are born every day. Yeah. Even Larry and Sergey needed someone to run their organization, I guess. But I think it's very hard. We've just gone through so many CTOs, it's become a joke. Thankfully, the last few years, I think we've lucked out. Finally, we have. So I would, anyone who's starting out in this, if they are not from a technical background, I tell them, even if you can't code, that's fine. But if your technical background, that's okay. But who's your complementary skill? And you look around, you look at some of the most successful guys, they understand tech deeply. So if you look at Bhavish, what he's done at Ola, you look at Binny and Sachin at Flipkart, and maybe that kind of, you know, gave them Vijay at Paytm. It's given them, you know, I guess a shorter runway. So, you know, they were able to probably, you know, crash various things. So I would definitely redo that. But then, you know, that's the way it is.
And beyond, say, this curiosity and this learning curve, what do you usually look for when you're hiring? How personally involved are you in hiring?
Quite a bit, yeah. So there are a lot of positions where I like to be, well, in some positions, if it's leadership team or something, then I will actually be the main hirer between Rajesh and myself. And, you know, we're always kind of doing something. There is change always, which is good. But then some other positions where I'd love to meet the folks and maybe have a veto. So I think, they're fair degree. You know, it's very kind of cliched to say fire in the belly. But I think a strong point of view and the conviction to defend it. So I really like
irrespective
that.
Of whether you agree with that point of view.
So I like to try and, you know, take people somewhere and say, hey, you know, and get them. And a lot of people fall into the trap of just saying what you're saying. But then there'll be people who say, yeah, that's all fine.
Sure.
But I think there's this. So I think conviction is very important. But you can put that across respectfully. So I think that's really nice, where you people, they have a point of view and they're putting it across, which is very different, and you didn't see it from that point of view. But that's what you want. You want an addition to the team which adds a new dimension. If we are all the same, then, you know, where are
it's
you
a bigger you, not a better you.
Exactly. Where are you going to get the really out of the box thinking from? So I think, and I do tell Rajesh that very often, whenever, you know, we've thought of the same thing, I said, this is terrible, Rajesh, we definitely need an X factor in because we're thinking too similar. And so it's nice to have people who think very differently about the same problem.
Got it. Given that you've built a fantastic product team, Deep, and you yourself are not a coder but an admitted product guy, what is it that you look for, or is there a checklist when you're interviewing truly exceptional product people for MMT Go IBM?
I think there's a mental checklist for sure, and depends on the level that you're interviewing, because I think it's very fashionable to say I'm a product guy, etc. but I think the best product guys who I've seen, firstly, have to be very Puritan in their approach. And I said this before, and what I mean by that is they should not get polluted in their mind and in their thought process when they're building the product with anything but the holy grail of funnel and of conversion. So very often, and we ran into that trap too, which is we used to say, okay, we're measuring, you know, dollars and cents as well. So, you know, the whole revenue part comes in. So only a few years ago did we actually split up the product function into a revenue product, where this person or this team is only looking at the dollars and cents, nickel and dimes I'm getting out of that, and pure product, which is completely conversion and nothing else. And those conversion rates and ratios, and especially, like I said, managing our funnel, whether it's a 4-step, it used to be a 5-step on the app, we can even look at 3-step funnel, becomes the holy grail.
Hmm.
And they're only obsessed about that. So when you're building, you have one lens in mind, which is my consumer, my customer, are they going to find it easy to do? Are they going to find it easy to navigate? Where is the trap? What's happening when they put that out and they get that proverbial 1% traffic to, you know, play with on an A-B test? They're only obsessed about that and nothing else.
Hmm.
And then they ramp up and they go to 5%, they go to 10%. And, you know, I really am really mystified and disappointed when they're product people who do a few customer thing and then they say, we're done. No, you got to keep going back.
Yeah.
Because the Indian customer is so, you know, different and everyone. So I'm pushing people all the time. We've actually institutionalized something called Go-to-Market Day, which I did, which is just, listen, guys, if you're not in the market, the idea is that you have to spend at least one whole day in the market.
Sure.
Talking to customers. For product guys, that needs to be 5 days.
Yeah.
It needs to be 7 days. Maybe you need to listen to a product interview one a day. Like, that's your podcast for the day. That's your audible thing for the day, and you have to understand. But I think it also helps if you can see the recording or be there and actually interview people or have a moderator do that. So we put a lot of emphasis on that. And so I love asking product guys where they get their inspiration from.
Hmm.
It's very nice to say, oh, like, you know, I saw Uber launch with this, which is fine, of course. They're great and awesome. But I do like to see originality of thought. So, you know, the Indian customer is different. Have you thought about the Indian customer?
Yeah.
And so I think originality of thought, conviction, which I said before, and then, you know, always being able to bounce that off with a customer base.
Great.
I think that's what I look for.
And as a B2C company, Deep, the customer service is of paramount importance.
Yeah.
And how has MMT approached this? Is it more technology driven? Is it more throw people at a problem and then figure out the playbook and then scale through technology?
Yeah, I think it's been the latter, very frankly. Initially, we just said that, listen, we'll throw people at it. And then you realize that these volumes, you know, when you're doing several lakh transactions a day, and even if you're a call to contact, call to transaction ratio is small, you'll still get, you know,
thousands,
a lot of calls. Yeah. And that's not the way to do it. So I think, we've been saying it for a long time, but we've really taken a very serious crack at it only recently,
mm-hmm.
where now chatbot has firstly given you a great place to be able to do it. So we've launched that. We were among the first to launch on WhatsApp, as well as our own chatbots. So we have Gia at GoIBibo, Myra at Make My Trip. And I think Gia is now taking care of almost 10,000 transactions a day or 10,000 contacts a day. That's a great way of doing it because it's conversational and that's what people like to do. But I think the automation there, both have to go hand in hand. So you have to, I think, focus. It's also product. You got to focus on call drivers and which are your biggest call drivers and why. And it's a classic case of root cause analysis.
Mm.
You ask why 5 times and you get to the root cause and then let's fix that. And it's true, it works, but it's dirty, right? So it's the non-sexy part of product. So very often people don't want to do it. So it's lovely to find people who say, yeah, I want to fix this. I believe we'll be golden when we have consumers who are basically saying, listen, great experience. I'm a brand ambassador where everyone has to get to that. So I dream for that day. But we're getting better. I think, you know, self-admittance, we are probably a 6 on 10. Where we want to be is an 11 on 10. So I'm very clear. I'm the, you know, biggest champion of that internally. That's all my people hear from me. And complaints, escalations do come to me. And I keep them unread till they are resolved. It's really important for me.
Is there a company particularly that you admire who's done this really well?
Yeah, I think we've heard of this company called Amazon. I think they do a reasonable job. No, I think it's very inspirational what they've built. I mean, you know, all of us buy from them. I think most of us have never called them. And there's a reason you don't need to call them. So I think it's that's where the magic happens and we want to get there. I know travel is much tougher, but that's the challenge. Travel is a moment of truth. You know, you can't wait an extra hour, forget an extra day to get it delivered.
Exactly.
But then that's, you know, that's the beauty of that business. I think we want to crack that.
Awesome. I want to take you to the moment when it seemed like everything that Make My Trip was doing was all set. You had conquered the market. You conclusively had the mindshare of the consumer, and suddenly there is this new player that comes in. And starts with a completely different approach, which is just discounting based, needn't be as much as product and so on. How would a founder react to that when you somewhat believe that you have the right spot in the market and someone just comes in and starts disrupting and you know that's not right or possibly sustainable and yet...
And especially when it happens from, you know, left field, when you have no clue at all.
Yes.
So I think the biggest mistake we made, Ankur, in hindsight was to believe that this is only a discounting play.
Okay.
So I only realized much, much later down the line that when I got a chance to deep dive into the technology, I was actually seeing the extranet which the hotelier partners were using for GoIBIBO when I realized how good the tech was. And I said, hang on, I remember it was in our older office conference room and I just walked up to the screen and I think the next couple of hours I was on that screen saying, my God, they've built which we've been trying to and built it really well. So obviously they've got the tech chops as well. Maybe more tech than product, but they got that. And it was lightning fast. And now I know why. Because, you know, their CTO, Vikalp, is just an incredible guy. And the rest of the team under also is just so, like, I was very closely involved as a customer seeing the recent Mumbai Indians. We did this game with them, you know, as you score, you earn. It was done in record time. It was flawless execution, brilliantly done. And there's a new product which has gone live. It's on AB, so it's still on 1, 2% yesterday. Really complex. So, I mean, this team is very, very, I think, driven and very smart and they like complex problems. It's also a small team. So, I think that really helps. Also, the biggest thing, like I mentioned, Vikalp has been with the team from ab initio. So, he knows every piece of code, which is like, as we know in this business, so critical.
So critical.
So, I think that's when I started taking them very seriously. Your first reaction is denial. Like, ah, this is just a pricing play, it'll go away, and also ostrich, head in the, you know, buried down, which is really bad, which is wrong. So I've learned from that now, never to kind of belittle some of these threats which are coming. You got to take them all seriously. So I am in the Andy Grove camp of, you know, being paranoid. And I think it's important to be, because if you kind of, you know, dismiss them, and they keep getting bigger because if you dismiss them as founder, then others would
Everyone else, that's fine.
You know, we dismiss it, not gonna. So you have to say, no, I want to understand this better, understand it better, get everyone to understand and start tracking. And then if you start seeing steady growth, even when discounting goes away, there's something out there because that's real stickiness. And that means people are there for product. So I think there was a big lesson learned. But no, I think it's been good. Big learning there.
Have you ever faced the dilemma of growth versus profitability in this long 18-year tenure?
Have I ever not faced it? So I think that's a constant balancing act. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, you read all our commentaries also, and we're public. So, you know, we have the, you know, I guess the onus of reporting, which is fine. But then it's a constant thing. Obviously, if, you know we can grow faster, but then you have to ensure that your unit economics are improving all the time. I don't think there's been a time where it's not there, except when you had no money.
Yeah.
Because then it's actually not growth, then it's survival.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how you make ends meet. But the moment you've got money and you have the luxury of choosing how much to spend, there's going to be a trade-off. So it is the ultimate trade-off curve in our businesses. So that continues to happen, which is fine. I think that kind of keeps you alert. It keeps you on your toes.
Okay, great. It was lovely to have you, Deep.
Super.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. This was really, really nice.
Thanks a lot.
I look forward.
See ya.
Thank you. If there was any doubt in my head that Deep defines entrepreneurship personally for me and for most of us, then it's all gone away. I found this episode fascinating on so many grounds because I personally got to know a lot about product management, product market fit, and of course Deep's journey is something that is truly, truly inspiration. So I hope you all enjoyed it just as much as I did, and I look forward to meeting you all again on the next episode. Do not forget to subscribe because that's the best way that you get to know of the new episodes coming in. And until then, it's Ankur Variku signing off. Have a great week ahead.